right, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. And the message today is entitled Introduction. Because we are starting a new series today. It is September 18th, 2022. I'm Dr. Mary Craig. And let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, Lord God, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kingdoms and over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and revealing more to us of who the Holy Spirit is, and grant us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Introduction. Growing up in church, we would sing Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost every week. We would sing the hymn, Spirit of God, descend upon my soul or upon my heart. Sometimes the Holy Spirit would be mentioned here and there in a sermon. So I personally knew about him, but I didn't know him. No. My first introduction to the Holy Spirit happened on the night I was truly saved. Because as many of you know, I was in church. I was brought up in church. We went there, I don't know, three times a week, maybe more. Anyway, I was brought up in church. The sermons were great, but nothing was really said that gave the gospel a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that didn't hinder the Holy Spirit. So on September 27, 1972, at 1 o'clock a.m., after a big to-do going on, having heard the gospel, and this, I don't know, there was a battle on for my soul. And then at 1 a.m., September 27, 1972, I heard a voice speaking to me. "Mary, be still and know that I am God. I am the living spirit and I come to live in you. You have died, but since I am the living Christ and have died and been raised from death unto life, you live and shall never die." And it went on. I had gotten up. I was actually afraid to go to sleep because I knew well about the sovereignty of God. And at that time, I mean, I knew shorthand well. So I wrote it all down. I wrote everything down. I was indicted basically for the sin of unbelief. That was the bottom line. And this, starting then, this began a living relationship with the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Today, many continue to deny the Holy Spirit's personhood, his role in salvation, and the supernatural agency of the Holy Spirit. Some who know of the Holy Spirit will not teach on the Holy Spirit because he glorifies Jesus Christ and not himself. And studying the scripture about him would focus on him, focus on the Holy Spirit. So some people think that's why we don't shouldn't teach on the Holy Spirit. I have come to disagree. By maintaining silence, many believers have been kept from this one, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within them, who applies the work of Jesus Christ to their lives, and who is the gift of eternal life as a promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit, one of his names is Promise of the Father. And he is the gift of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we believe and affirm, number one, that there is one God or divine essence, one God. Number two, that the same one divine essence, or the same one God, is common to three truly divine persons who are designated Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm talking about this, like this. One God in three distinct persons. Number three, that this order of the divine persons belongs to the divine essence prior to and irrespective of the covenant of grace. Four, that the Father relates to the Son as God the Father. These are their distinguishing characteristics. God the Father is distinguished because the Father relates to the Son. God the Son relates to God the Father as God the Son. So it's distinguishing characteristic is sonship. Okay, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And number five, that the Son is true God, of true God, the infinite God-man. The Son, Jesus Christ, is a divine person with a divine nature who took on a human nature in a human body, having two distinct natures, without confusion, without change, without division, without separation. Okay, so when we talk of God's divine essence, we're talking about God is spirit. He is, that's his existence. All right. As to the divine works, the Father is a source from which every operation emanates. The Son is the medium through which it is performed, and the Holy Spirit is the executive, the one who executes, by which it is something is carried into effect. The Holy Spirit makes it effectual. Like we've talked before of the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, the call goes out, and the Holy Spirit makes that call effectual to those who have been chosen by God before the foundation of the world or of anything. Okay. God is one God in three distinct persons. We do not seek to explain this mystery, but rather to preserve this mystery. The call of the church is to preserve truth and to promote justice and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all creation. I believe there is a need to learn what the scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Many deny his existence. Many ignore him. Mostly today we see the counterfeit Holy Spirit. People use the name Holy Spirit, but the one to whom they refer is far different from the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. I was, years ago, there was a book on miracles that had been written. And I didn't buy the book, but I was sitting on the floor of this this bookstore. And I was just, you know, I was kind of going through it, looking at chapter titles and, you know, reading. It's always important to read the introduction. So I was reading that and whatever. And I noticed that the one thing that was left out, there was no mention of the atonement. The book was full of words like grace, forgiveness, you know, faith, all kinds of things. But no mention of the atonement, the atoning work of Jesus Christ, which would be the basis. There was none of that. And the Holy Spirit applies what Jesus Christ has accomplished. The work of Jesus Christ is a finished work. Jesus accomplished that work, and the Holy Spirit applies that work, and that's how it goes, okay? So we have those who seem unaware of the broad scope of the work of the Holy Spirit. Throughout this sermon series of Old and New Testaments, I pray that our eyes will be opened to the breadth and richness of this one who is the promise of the Father, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ. Now, Samuel Chadwick said in 1911, quote, oh, this is from Joyful News, 1911. Okay, quote, the gift of the Spirit is the crowning mercy of God in Christ Jesus. The incarnation and crucifixion, the resurrection and ascension were all preparatory to Pentecost, unquote. So it cannot be gainsaid that it is no longer generally recognized that supernatural agency is imperatively required in order for the redemptive work of Christ to be applied to sinners. Rather, do actions show it is now widely held that if unregenerate souls are instructed in the letter of Scripture, their own willpower is sufficient to enable them to decide for Christ, quote-unquote. You can decide for Christ. You use your own willpower, and that's sufficient. The greatest lack of all in Christendom today is the absence of the Holy Spirit's power and blessing. and except for my little side comment, that is a quote from A.W. Pink, who has written a very good book on the Holy Spirit. All right. And now I want us to listen to John 1. Let's see. Verses 1 to 5 and 9 to 13.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, who gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of blood, nor of the desire or will of man, but born of God.
The Holy Spirit has attributes, characteristics. The Holy Spirit is freely given. Okay, let's listen to 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 13.
These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual.
Oh, and now 1 Corinthians 12, 11, and Romans 15, verse 30.
Okay, and also Acts 2:33. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. And this is the 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now Romans 15:30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf.
The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit can be quenched, quieted, vexed, resisted, insulted, lied to, limited, grieved, and other things. A list longer than that. We need to guard our relationship with the living God and always regard the Holy Spirit with an understanding that He is holy. He is Holy Spirit. He applies to believers what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf, as I mentioned. He is freely given. We are not to exploit, rob, spoil, or smear His glory. To some, the Holy Spirit is an it. They talk about the Holy Spirit as an it and not as a person. And they speak of the Holy Spirit as just a power. But, and not only here, I'll list some scriptures, in verses like 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, Revelation 2, verse 7, Luke 12, verse 12, John 14, 26, Acts 13, verse 2, and Romans 8, verse 26, we find actions ascribed to the Holy Spirit that demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is a person, a divine person. John Owen, this is a quote from John Owen, the Holy Spirit is not a quality, as some speak, residing in the divine nature, not a mere emanation of virtue and power from God, not the acting of the power of God in and unto our sanctification, but a holy, intelligent, subsistent, or person. The word subsistence has to do with existence. Okay, that's John Owen. It makes a difference if, in fact, the Holy Spirit is a person and not merely some power or an it. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Eternal Spirit in Hebrews 9, verse 14. The Holy Spirit is God. And just a few places, Acts 5, verse 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 20, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. He is not just a creature or creation of God, removed from God in essence and dignity, and having a derived excellence and derived power, rather than being the author of such work that transcends finite ability and which can belong to none other but God Himself. Rather, there subsists or exists three divine persons who are co-essential, co-eternal, and co-equal. All right. Hopefully we want to know Him. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And we're going to close there for this message, for this introduction. And hopefully, as you listen to this, and as we close, I just want to reiterate that there is one God. There is one God. And we have one God in three distinct persons. One God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And they differ in their characteristics. What distinguishes the Father and the Son is fatherhood and sonship. And the Son relates to the Father as God the Son. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Okay, and so with that, we're going to go ahead and close today. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, God. We pray to you, God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you that our prayers come up to you in the power, with the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is like a divine editor of our prayers, making them acceptable to you. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and he is, ever lives to make intercession for the saints. And we give you praise today. And we pray, Lord, that you will reveal to us more so that we, about the Holy Spirit, so that we can kind of be aware when the Holy Spirit, that we would have the heart of the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus Christ, because it is the heart of the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus. And that's what he does. And so, Lord, we ask you that we might do the will of the Father with the mind of Christ, and with the heart of the Holy Spirit, as empowered by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, forgive us, for us, when we have limited the Holy Spirit and grieved him and quenched him and all these things, in the relationship. We ask forgiveness for all of that, Lord. And may we be better aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you would please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.